Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Welcome to Off the Cut, episode 84. We're up in Toronto. Today is known as Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day. You ready for this one?
Of course.
Fruit.
Always. Just fruit.
More specifically, fruit at work. But
no, you're joking.
I swear.
That fruit, yeah, that's not something you necessarily want to punch into Google.
Fruit at work, I don't get it. Is this a penis joke?
It could be construed that way.
Oh, yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. You're thinking like the eggplant emoji.
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, for those of you who don't know at home, we spent the last 30 minutes or so trying to rework our different Patreon tiers,
right,
so that we could freshen up our Patreon and deliver a little bit more value to the people who are nice enough to support us.
Right.
Maybe we need to shake up the food of the day intro.
I'm down for it.
Is it?
I think I know where you're going with this, but please proceed.
Well, it's very rage inducing. I feel like we've had enough days where it's just completely inane topics completely inane things that aren't even really food. And it's been grinding my gears a little bit.
Whiskey. So, now, egg salad. I have no problem with making the change, mm-hmm. but I will say one of the better performing clips I've put up recently has been about Mexican food.
Really?
That's true. That's true. I did see somebody on Instagram actually commented that I didn't know what I was talking about, and there was a really good Mexican place in Toronto called Wilbur.
I can't remember what it was.
And I would like to say that that's not like, it's not that great. There? I've had it. I used to live across the street from that place. It's all right.
wait for it. Hold on. I'm definitely not stalling.
Come on, Eric.
Why is it not playing? This? I'm trying to play the shots fired.
Oh, because I turned here. I turned down the volume.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Definitely not stalling.
Oh,
he just blew some eardrums out. Come on, I was too late. I was trying to time it so you're like, this place sucks. Boom.
Yeah, that would have been great punctuation. You know what we need is a soundboard where, like, a physical soundboard in front of us where we can press buttons for different sound effects.
That was Zach's round of applause. See, now we have a little bit of a soundboard, but we need to load more stuff into it. Like, we also have this one too.
Oh, right, yeah.
I can't play too much. We don't want to get flagged for copyright.
Yeah, no. Nintendo's brutal, by the way. They will go after anybody and everybody. So,
but yeah. So I thought you were gonna say, instead of doing the food of the day, we would do one of our new proposed Patreon tiers, where it's the Green Suitors Insult of the Day.
Oh,
you got one?
No, we don't have one, but I'm just saying because that's one of the things we're thinking of.
Theoretically, we could. That would depend on our patrons, though. They need to submit some green suitor slams for us. And we also need to tell them that that's a segment we're doing on the show going forward. So
I think for today, we got the live crew right here. Let's just ask them. Whoever comes up with the best one, we'll read it at the end.
True. That's great. I like that.
That works for me. Well, anybody got a good one in there? We'll bring it up. But speaking of our patrons, this car is outside, can't back in. You know who else can't back in is our patrons. So new this week, we have a certified turd, Milling Chips.
People are probably wondering why we're rebranding our Patreon, and then Eric says we have a new certified turd this week. I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. That makes sense.
The certified turds are Odie's Oil fans because mm-hmm. no one likes Odie's Oil.
Yeah.
I don't need to go into that. If you don't know why, I think the first episode we talked about it was when we had John Cesaro on from Lincoln Street. And that was like right during the whole midst of all the Odie's Oil debacle, and we've all had experiences with that person. We'll leave it there. I'm stuttering over my words and I haven't even been drinking.
It's okay. Take a second. Breathe. Yeah. Reset. You're all good.
I'm good. Okay. And new this week, I got a top tier patron. One of our cockers, Christopher Johnson.
Good strong name.
Yeah, you know Randy Johnson, the old baseball player. This is his brother.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So because Christopher is a top tier patron, he's getting access to all kinds of sweet stuff. And one of the things he gets access to is joining our exclusive list of people who get their name read every single episode. So our top tier patrons coming in this week are Christopher Johnson, Josh at Freedom Wood Workshop, Brooke Appler, Grizzly Bear Woodworks, Dadu, who's in the live stream right now, Luke Schmidt, Corey Duvall, which, by the way, Corey offered me some of his honey.
Oh, I've been wanting to try some of his honey.
Yeah. So I was going to get some, and he sent me a message this morning or yesterday. But my mom, I told you this story about how whenever my mom sees a roadside honey stand, she goes and gets, she has to stop, slams the brakes on, goes,
yeah, fair enough.
So she's swimming in honey. And then that means I have like 3-4 jars of honey. It's going to go bad before I get to it. So
go bad?
I think so. Yeah, it's if it doesn't have preservatives and stuff, I think.
Yeah, true. I guess that's probably the stuff you get at the grocery store doesn't go bad, but if you get the real stuff, it does.
Right. So yeah. I respectfully declined because I didn't want it to go to waste. But I was very intrigued.
You should have gotten it and sent it to me.
Yeah. I don't like you that much.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like the Green Suitors podcast more than I like you. Available on Apple.
Oh, my God. How can you say that? That's so mean.
This podcast is over.
Yeah.
Sorry. I got to finish this up. Our other returning top tier patrons, Jason Price at Priceless Pro Designs, Scott Eastman at EC's Woodshop, and of course, you're waiting for this, our power cocker, formerly known as Wes. Oh, yeah. So, Zach, tell the people, why do they want to sign up for Patreon?
Well, first of all, it supports our fight against the Green Suitors podcast, which is always the top priority. But much more realistically, you get access to the after show. You get access to the Discord. You get to submit questions for the after show and a whole host of other features. I'm sure I'm butchering it all. It all depends on the tiers. And I don't even really want to say too much of it because we're probably going to shake it up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. But for the better, we're adding more value to people for the same low price.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple topics we can talk about. And we also have speaking of Patreon perks and questions, there's one question that we dove into in the after show last week. The one from Luke about family support.
Oh yeah, that was a good question.
So, and we had mentioned that we didn't feel like we were able to, you know, really dive into it and fully answer it. So you tell me, do you want to kind of open up the floor for Luke's question, or do you want to talk about some other topics that we've got?
Yeah, no, let's talk about Luke's question, because I think I took a little bit of time to think about it after the show too. And I think it's something that a lot of people probably deal with. So do you want to just summarize it real brief?
Yeah. So this came from one of our patrons, Luke, great supporter. We appreciate the question, Luke. And let's be fully transparent. This is a tough question.
Like, it is.
It's something that I think I personally have faced this, and I think seeing that other people have this question, it's probably fairly common. So anyway, yeah. Here's Luke's question. Stay with me for a minute. How do you guys deal with people closest to you not being supportive? I finally started trying to run my woodworking side work more as a business and not just a fun hobby. After taking a woodworking class and talking to a small business owner about pricing my work, I made a few things and priced them accordingly. However, my wife told me that they were priced too high and didn't want to tell people because of that, which was better than my mom, who told me my prices were absurd and ridiculous. And my mother-in-law just told me not to quit my day job. All three of them would have the items priced for less than the cost of the lumber. This has not stopped any of them from asking me to make things for them or for gifts, but it would be nice to get a little support. It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough, especially when it's people who are very close to you who aren't supportive of what you're doing.
Right.
And I think based on Luke's question, there's a few things going on. I think one probably, and I think we touched on this last week, they might not necessarily know the amount of hours and the amount of labor that goes into creating something.
Yep.
So I think education is always one kind of route that you could take, right? Yeah. You can say, well, look, you know, building this table took 40 hours of my time. There's $600 worth of lumber in it, $100 worth of odds and ends, disposable, you know, finish, paintbrush, whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, here's what I think my time is worth. And then you just, you know, you kind of break it down for them and then see, right. Like, educate them, show them what goes into it so that they have a better appreciation for that.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. I think education would be like step one, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go and say, oh, I deserve $10,000 for this table because I deserve it. You're like, no, if you want me to be honest with you, the way I came up with my price, you know, is 40 hours worth of labor. I want to get paid $20 an hour, which is pretty low for custom woodworking.
You should charge more than that, Luke.
Way more. Yeah. Way more. So like, okay, 40 hours, $20. Or 40 hours, $20 an hour. What? $800 there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So right there, you might have just blown someone's socks off. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. I get how you got that. And then you go, and then I spent $600 on lumber. So if I'm going to charge you $1,400, like, that's actually a pretty damn good deal on that table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So education 100%. I say you go for first. And I think most people will be receptive because people may not know. They might look at a 2x4 at Home Depot and go, well, that big piece of wood is, you know, $3, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Not realizing that the 2x4 is, you know, construction lumber grade. It's not furniture grade. It's not what you want to build something out of.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Scott Walsh is still in the chat, but he might have something to say about that because he did a whole video about using construction lumber for furniture. But more broadly, let's take a broader approach to it. How do you deal with people in your life who aren't supportive of, you know, of your business? Because put aside the financial thing, like maybe I feel like the heart of Luke's question is more so that he wasn't feeling supported by the people close in his life.
I mean, this is a tough one. This is a little bit more intangible. Mm-hmm. I think one is maybe people don't understand how important this is to you. So you know, somebody is like, one of the things I always heard was, how's your little woodworking thing going?
And, oh, yeah, true.
Right. Yeah, like, you guys have probably heard that.
Yeah, my little YouTube channel. How's that going?
Right. When you put a lot of time and effort into something and somebody says something like that, they may not intend to be degrading you and putting you down, but maybe let them know, hey, this is like, it's going to be awkward. You say, this is really important to me. Like, when you call it my little woodworking business or something like that, it really hurts. And somebody might go, oh my gosh, like, I didn't know. Especially your spouse. So your spouse should be the most receptive person to you being honest about your feelings, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
100%.
I think one thing I try to remind myself, because I've experienced this, you know, family members and friends and stuff like that, not really understanding or being supportive of what I'm doing. I try to remind myself that it's usually probably a reflection of their own insecurities.
Yeah.
Because if you ever talk to a super successful, super happy person, generally they're like the most supportive people in the world. They will always be championing you and, like, you know, trying to build you up. It's so, I, you know, if your family members are trying to drag you down a little bit or it feels like that, it might be them acting out their own insecurities.
Yeah.
You know, they might say, like, they might see, I don't know, the price point that you're putting your furniture out there at. That might make them feel a little bit insecure about their own value as, you know, of what they do in work or as creators if they are. So that's something to consider as well. It doesn't necessarily help, but it helps you. It does help. It helps you to empathize more with their position. It won't necessarily make them automatically start being supportive, but it can at least help you understand why they're not being supportive and at least let go of some of the negative emotions because of that, I think.
Yeah, I think what really stuck out to me with what you said there was the, you know, kind of pointing out other people's value of themselves. Like, let's say, you know, pricing your custom woodworking at $50, $75, $100 an hour isn't, like, ludicrous, right? Like,
no.
You have a skill that the vast majority of the general public does not.
Yeah.
However, if you you go talk to a neighbor, an aunt, a family member, a friend, and you're like, "Yeah, I price my work at, you know, $75 an hour." If roughly speaking, that's about equivalent to $150,000 annual salary, which is well above the median that a lot of people make. Yep. So what you said, Zach, is like, if I basically just go up to somebody and I'm like, yeah, I value myself at $150,000 a year, how other people respond, and granted, nobody's going to go do that, but that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
How other people respond reflects their security of themselves, I think.
100%.
And if they put a lot of if they put a huge value on the amount of money they make a year, well, you're going to ruffle feathers. Like, that's just this reality.
Or they might be in a position where they feel undervalued.
Sure.
They might be at their job like, oh man, I really deserve a raise. Like, I am working hard. I'm killing myself here every day. And then to hear about somebody else doing well, it can, you know, twist the knife a little bit and make them lash out in weird ways.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And they might not even be meaning to do it. Sorry, Derek.
Nope.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and we're talking purely like he was talking about what he wanted to price it at, not even what he sold it at.
Yeah.
Which are often different prices.
Yeah, true. True.
Especially early on, we tend to get negotiated down.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I think that applies to everything, not just woodworking. You know, that can apply to salary negotiations and jobs. Right. Can apply to contract negotiations for YouTube videos, all sorts of stuff. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, I think what the three of us are getting at, to summarize it, is the price that he's putting on his work is not the issue or topic of discussion. There's
no,
it's a deeper problem.
Yeah.
Going on here.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
Do you guys have any like general advice for how to deal with unsupportive people in your life? Cause like I said, you know, like you can empathize with them and kind of like understand why they're acting that way. But I don't know that there's necessarily, maybe with a spouse, you could change how she interpreted things, but I feel like talking to your mom and your mother-in-law and trying to get them to change their behaviors. I don't know.
I feel like the problem with this is the proximity to the relationships. Everybody I've had issue with have been distant enough that I don't have to deal with them.
I mean, that is great.
Put more space.
Totally. That's a great way to deal with an unsupportive person. Just be like, well, I won't call that guy anymore.
But every time when it's your spouse or your mom, that's different.
You don't have that option. You can't necessarily.
So you're saying if it's like a vendor or whatever, like you sell cutting boards wholesale to somebody and then they start beating you down about your prices. Well, you can just end that. You can distance yourself. You can end that relationship. If it's your spouse or your mother-in-law, like you're in that one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It's communication. It's like you said, this is a very personal, very close relationship. It's all about you're going to have to take some time and work on that relationship, build and see what is at the root of the problem. Because it probably, like you said, has nothing to do with the pricing or the woodworking itself or any of that. This is an issue with the relationship that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
I think for the mother-in-law and the mother, like those going forward, me personally, I would just not talk business around them. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like those relationships can exist outside of that. So yeah.
And this, for me, this is a personal belief of mine that, and this isn't like a religious or political thing. With like mother-in-laws, if a mother-in-law or a father-in-law or whatever is treating you a specific way, it's almost always better received by your spouse confronting their parents rather than you trying to confront her parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a good policy in general.
Get somebody from the tribe to speak the language.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, hey, you know, Luke was telling me that, you know, some of the stuff you said, you know, hurt him and really upset him. And she might go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And then you can open up that dialogue versus if Luke goes to his mother-in-law and is like, not that he's going to do this. We know Luke, he's a good guy. He'd be like, what the hell? Like, no.
Like,
it's not an easy topic. I mean,
no, it's definitely not.
And again, not trying to get myself into a place I don't need to be in, but if your spouse is the person that's putting you down and not supporting you, I think that's a deeper issue and something that you really, really need to sit down and talk to them about.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is not something you push under the rug if your spouse is putting you down.
Yeah.
And find areas that they do support you and use that to start building off of.
Ooh, that might help. I like that. Be like, you support me in this. Yeah. Thank you so much. I feel so loved by that. But I'll be honest, there's one thing that I feel hurt by.
Yeah.
I think that would be received very well and it doesn't come off as an attack.
Yeah.
You got to build that bridge.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was the therapy hour. Now let's move on to the next segment of the show.
our next segment of the show is Why We Hate the Green Suitors podcast. Available on all streaming platforms. Dadu says, the Green Suitors podcast is an insult to the color green and the color of the Canadian $20 bill.
That's right.
Couldn't agree more.
Eric, did you know that all of our money is different colors?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've spent my fair share in
That's true. I think that's a good policy that the United States should adopt. Because every time
you're just like, oh, there's a blue one, there's a green one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Every time I go to the US, I'm like, is this a 1 or a 5 or a 20? You don't know unless you look at it a little closely.
Unless you read the number that's printed on it.
And your money has hockey players on it.
That's true. I think the 10. No, the 5 maybe?
I forget which bill has it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
What are they called? Loonies?
Loonies, yeah. We got loonies and toonies.
Those are $1 and $2 coins.
I actually found recently in my change a $1 American coin.
Oh, really?
Ooh, yeah. Silver dollar?
A little gold one?
It's a little gold one. It looks almost identical to a loonie.
Wait, what's the difference between a gold one and a silver one? Don't we have silver dollars?
I think silver dollars are literally made out of silver.
Yeah.
The Sacagawea ones?
Those are good.
I don't know this for sure, but I think the silver ones are older when silver was, you know, cheaper relative to the dollar. If you find quarters that are before a certain year, like, let's say 1963, they're actually made of silver, and they're worth significantly more than the face value of them.
And we got the 50-cent piece, too. That's the that's the big silver one.
I haven't seen one of those before.
Like, I think Kennedy's on it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Or no, Canada, Eisenhower, maybe. I can't remember.
Canada used to have a $1 bill and a $2 bill. The $2 bill got phased out when I was a little kid, and the $1 bill got phased out before I was even born, I think.
It's so much easier just to be like, boom, pop, here's a coin, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do love the feeling when you have like $17 in $1 bills and you're like, God damn, I'm rich right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a whole stack of cash.
I always have in my wallet just like random, unnecessary, well, random, useless cash, but it's for like, you know, you got to tip somebody somewhere or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And it's just a bunch of ones and fives.
I keep two 20s in my wallet, a 20 in my truck, and a 20 by the front door, you know, because sometimes
pizza
you got to pay for parking. Boom. Sometimes, you know, you get a Girl Scout that comes to the front door, you want some cookies.
True, like that. True. The Girl Scouts these days, they must have some sort of, like, tap-to-pay system or
they have a pay on your phone. Account.
Venmo, I guess.
They have the square readers around us.
The square?
Yeah. My barber uses a square reader.
I'd be down with that. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think that's one of the things I'm most excited for when we get our house. One, scaring the shit out of kids. Oh, there's explicit. Scaring the shit out of kids to Halloween. I already told Miranda this. As soon as we have a house, I'm gonna make our house the spooky house. And I want to make kids change their shorts when they come to our house to get candy.
What are you going to do? Are you going to like hide in the yard and pop out?
Oh, I'm going to do all kinds of stuff. I'm going to get you. Well, you got some friends that are in the special effects industry, right?
Yeah. Sure. I can get you some fake blood and some prosthetics if you want.
Yeah. I want to like rip arms off of things or like rip dogs in half, like fake dogs. Just
yeah.
Not real dogs.
Go down to the local puppy shelter, get some props. I mean, dogs. Are you going to be the coolest house on the block and give the kids whole chocolate bars?
Well, so here's the thing. That's what Miranda said. She goes, if you're going to scare the living daylights out of children, you can't give them one of those little dinky things. Yeah. Like, you got to give them, you know. Kids know what they're in for, right?
Yeah.
Scare the hell out of them and give them some Smarties.
Yeah. Candy apple.
Here's my latest obsession. I swear the Halloween candy is smaller now than it was even like 3-4 years ago.
I believe. Oh, no doubt. And why do they call them fun size? There's nothing fun about the how small that Snickers bar is.
Yeah, it's true. It's just, I have to eat like 10 of them to satisfy myself, and all of a sudden there's all this wasted plastic in front of me. What's fun about that?
Yeah. They need to call it the green suitor size.
There you go.
Nobody likes that.
There you go.
Well, so I want to know, do you have any like Halloween traditions or like, you know, a memory that you're always like, oh man, it reminds me of this candy or like something like that? I want to know from you too, Derek.
Interesting. Well, interesting.
I will say my son has been a Ghostbuster for 9 out of his 12 Halloweens that he celebrated.
Same costume every time?
We'll get a new one every couple of years, but he's just obsessed with Ghostbusters, and he's been a Ghostbuster every year. And so one year he was a Ghostbuster and my daughter was a Pokemon, and I went as a Pokemon trainer Ghostbuster.
I like that. That's good.
Because you can't pick sides. You can't be like, I'm going to be the Pokemon or I'm going to be a Ghostbuster. Because then one of the kids is going to get pissed off, right?
Yeah. That's fun. You should, if he wants to commit to the Ghostbuster thing long term, you should have a costume that you slowly improve over the years.
Yeah, we got him a legit flight suit 2 years ago, and that's his main one now, and it's got our name on it and the little logo patch on it and everything. And
oh, that's awesome.
When he comes of age, he plans on joining the local Ghostbusters chapter.
There's a local Ghostbusters
You can't just say that like all nonchalantly. There's local Ghostbusters.
There's like dozens of them around. Yeah.
What?
The Texas area local Ghostbuster club?
Yeah. I'm going to look this Ghostbusters up.
Toronto has one.
Ghostbuster. Really?
No way.
What do I search? Toronto Ghostbuster crew?
Ghostbuster Corps.
Like the corpse. So is the
Ghostbuster crew like a ghost hunter thing? Like a paranormal investigator?
No, they're more of like a charitable. They're kind of akin to a charitable organization. Like they'll go, like you can hire them out to come out and do like parties and stuff, dressed, cool. And they'll like one of them will have like a car that's outfitted like an Ecto-1, and then they'll do charity events and stuff like that too.
So it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like cosplay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems a little bit more involved than your typical cosplay. Like, they have an organization behind it, which is neat. I had no idea that this was a thing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Huh. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I pulled up to some event and the Ghostbusters were there, I'd be like, I'm staying here for a while. Do they have a marshmallow man?
I haven't seen any. There's the costume, but I haven't seen one at any of them. I know. Yeah, yeah. We were in Las Vegas and we went to this 80s cafe, and they have an Ecto-1 parked out front, like a Cadillac, done up the whole nine. It looks just like the one from the movies. And my son came dressed in his flight suit and everything because he's obsessed with the 80s too. And so he came in and they saw him and they brought us outside and they let him sit in the car and they started it up and they ran the engines and the
nice.
Little sirens and everything. And it was just great.
That's awesome.
What about you, Zach? Any Halloween memories or things you enjoy doing around Halloween time?
You know what? I don't have a good, like, standout example. I just buy the candy too early, thinking that I'm going to save it for when the kids come trick-or-treating, and then I eat it before the 31st.
What's your go-to candy?
Oh, Coffee Crisp, for sure. Hands down, Coffee Crisp.
What you don't know what Coffee Crisp is? Coffee Crisp.
You don't have Coffee Crisp? Is this a Canadian? Are we...
Do you know what this is there? Difference?
No.
Coffee
oh man! Crisp? Search so Coffee Crisp is like a chocolate wafer bar wrapped in a chocolate. Yeah, okay.
Is this a Kit Kat?
It's kind of similar in consistency. It's a Canadian thing. A Kit Kat. It's got a thinner outer shell of chocolate. The inside is pretty similar, but it also has like a light coffee flavor to it.
Okay, I mean, it looks awful, but I'll take the word. It looks like it's like a wafer, like a fluff, or
yeah,
like a very light wafer covered in chocolate, kind of like a Kit Kat for every other sane person listening to this show.
It's like a Nutter Butter
coffee crisp.
It's lighter than a Kit Kat in terms of its like inner consistency.
So are these readily available?
Well, yeah, you get them everywhere here.
Yeah, the Amazon listing says proudly prepared in Canada.
Oh yeah, look at that. Nestle. But it's Nestle. Interesting.
Yeah.
Derek, you said it was like a Nutter Butter is what you were comparing
it to? It's what it looks like to me. It's kind of a Nutter Butter with the really fluffy wafers and like peanut butter filling in between them and then coated in chocolate, but this one's got like a coffee filling.
There's no peanut to be found in a Coffee Crisp.
Oh. This looks like something Green Suitors podcast listeners, available on all podcast platforms, would eat. Mine, you guys are gonna dog me for this.
Why? I'm a man. Well, like,
Do you
like Tootsie Rolls? Or I'm trying to think of all just the plain worst Hershey ones.
Bar, right?
It's just a plain Hershey bar.
I'm just glad you guys didn't say candy corn.
Mm.
I don't trust anybody who eats candy corn. Psychopath.
Yeah, horrible.
One color at a time.
The only thing candy corn is good for you for use the only thing candy corn is good for is using it as missiles to hit other people or something.
I thought he was gonna say for taking out the Green Suitors.
They suck too. Available on all streaming platforms. Mine I love just, but here's the thing. They always got to put them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. I like a frozen Reese cup.
Okay.
Or a frozen Snickers bar.
Okay. Okay.
I know they're generic. I know but it was like, that's so.
It's kind of a basic bitch answer, but I'll respect it.
No doubt it is.
Have you ever had a deep fried Mars bar?
No.
I had one once. It's pretty delicious. I had the local carnival here. They just had a little truck trailer thing that was frying them up and handing them out.
Was it right next to the medical tent?
Yes.
So if you had a heart attack.
Yeah.
You're there.
Exactly. Oh. Hey, okay, so hold on. So you don't like candy corn. Derek, what's your least favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh. It's either candy corn or the little roll of the sugar pills, the Smarties.
Oh,
or whatever
the Rockets.
Oh, no, Smarties. Oh, you're talking the little twisty thingies at the end?
Yeah. They might call it
what?
Rockets.
Okay.
Shit is a rocket.
It's the same thing, but it's just different branding.
Yeah.
We're talking about the same thing. Yeah. Smarties up here is like a chocolate candy, though.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Rockets are the same thing. Yeah, those are useless.
Yes. Search Smarties on Google. I think of these they're basically M&M's, but with no peanut.
Oh, no. We call Smarties what you call rockets.
Yeah. See the thing on the left there, Derek? That's what I think when somebody says Smarties.
Huh.
It was just a candy coated chocolate?
Yeah, it's an M&M, but with no peanut in it.
Well, regular M&M's don't have peanuts. It's just peanut M&M's.
Oh, that's true. But come on. The peanut ones are the best.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb, and this is going to piss a lot of people off.
Okay, let's do this.
Butterfingers, Crunch Bars, Kit Kats, trash.
No, Crunch Bar, great. Wait, are you talking about a Crunch E-Bar or a Crunch Bar?
Crunch Bar, the blue one.
Oh, those are the best. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking
about. They're terrible. I'll take that one to my grave.
They got little Rice Krispies in them. They're fantastic.
It's awful.
Crunch E bar is the worst, I believe.
Well, give me a Mr. Good bar.
Ooh, yeah. Awesome. Or, now I'm all paranoid that all my candy bar references aren't going to translate, but I like a Mr. Big bar.
I don't know what that is.
God damn it.
Mr.
This
Big.
Could be a whole episode on its own.
Wait, is Mr. Big a Baby Ruth bar?
Yeah, basically.
Maybe. It looks like it. You ever had a Baby Ruth?
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe it's
got
just
the wafers in it again.
Yeah.
Wafers, man. What's up with Canadians and wafers?
It kind of reminds me of 100 grand.
There's so many damn candy bars, and they're literally all the same thing. It's like chocolate, nougat, and it's just like different textures. But dear God,
it's like Mexican food. You just take the same four ingredients and mix
them right?
up.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Meat,
yeah, definitely.
Beans, cheese, rice.
Yeah.
How do you want it? It's not going to stop me from eating it, though.
Which part do you want fried and which part do you want cold?
Right, right.
Oh, actually, obviously the worst thing to get is raisins or an apple.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Those people
Or the toothbrush.
Oh, the toothbrush. Such a sanctimonious trick-or-treat. Yeah, chocolate. At least there's
chocolate-covered raisins
there.
Are just evil because you got the chocolate there, but then you're left with the raisin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Pro move for my childhood chocolate-covered raisins. You put the raisin in your mouth. You suck off the chocolate. Mm-hmm. You spit the raisin out.
That is an option. It's a bit laborious, but that's an option.
We were speaking of candies, the reason I did that is because like when I would do trick or treat as a kid, you'd always be like, damn, I don't have that much candy left. And the other night we were having one of these nights with my parents where we were talking about things that we never got caught doing. But for everybody listening, if you've never had these conversations with your parents and your siblings and your grandparents, they're hilarious because you're 20 plus years away from whenever this had happened, 10 years,
statute of limitations expired.
Right. You're not getting in trouble. So by admitting to this stuff, it's hilarious. So one of the ones that we were talking about is my parents go, because it was about Halloween, and my parents go, did you guys ever notice anything weird about your Halloween candy? And we're like, no, why? They're like, so you guys would always come back with so much candy, and we didn't want you to have all of it. So when you guys were asleep, we would go through your candy and pull out all the stuff that we really liked. And then we would take about half of it and just take it into work and set it in like the break room. And then we'd leave you with like the remainder. And we were like, oh, that makes so much sense. We thought we had so much more candy.
It's particularly evil because they didn't even enjoy it themselves. They gave it away to other people.
I know. Well, you were none the wiser.
Yeah, true. Kids are dumb. You probably didn't even notice, right? So
no. Yeah, no idea. No.
See, my parents were upfront about that. We had to dump out all the candy on the table, and they went through and picked up what they wanted, and we got the rest.
Oh, wow.
Huh. It's like when you got a dog and you get cheese out, the dog, it's the cheese tax, right?
It's candy tax.
yeah.
Candy tax.
Yeah.
I call it the dad tax.
The dad tax, that's good. Yeah. But my dad would always be like, hey, can I get a bite of that? And he'd like deep throat it, candy bar.
Candy bar, yeah.
So we're clear. We're talking about the candy bar. And he'd like put a whole king size candy bar, like eat the whole thing and give you this little nub left. He goes, here you go. I was like, Dad, you said one bite. He goes, that was one bite. That's a dad move.
That is such a dad move.
I always steal a fry when we hit the drive through for my kids' stuff before I hand it back to them. That's the dad tax.
Ooh. Oh, I mean, a bag, like a paper bag from a takeout restaurant that's filled with fries has never passed through my hands without me removing at least a handful for myself.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Even if it's like I'm on the driver's side and passing it to Sophie to hold while we go somewhere, it's immediate hand in there, grab some fries, shove them in my mouth, and then pass it over.
Oh, yeah. Same thing if you got to go pick, if you're hanging out with the boys and you're like, I'll go pick up the pizza. You better believe I'm going to be eating a slice of pizza on the way home.
Ooh, interesting.
Why does this pizza look like Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Delivery tax.
Yeah.
Pro tip for the pizza runs, by the way. Throw the little seat heater, or the heated seat on your car on, and then put the pizza right on it. Keep it warm.
That's a risky move, because if you slam on the brakes, that pie is flying off the seat.
Yeah, but you don't slam on the brakes when you got precious cargo in the passenger seat.
Yeah. That's true. I always put it on the floor. That's got, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's colder down there, though. It's sapping the heat away from the pie.
I don't know. I need one of those Domino's little, like, insulated bag things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
That's, I don't know. I want to talk about something that just came back. And I don't even know if you guys are aware of this.
Oh.
Do you remember, I don't know, a year ago, Instagram was paying people like big stacks of cash for those Instagram Reels bonuses and stuff like that? We're like, not that I ever got this, but the top one that they were presenting to me was $35,000 a month. Mm-hmm. They did it for like a couple months and then they're just like, and they stopped doing it.
Do you think that $35,000 was like a carrot that they dangled that you could never actually get to? Like, as soon as you got close to it, they'd be like, actually, you need 50 million views, not the 10 million we said originally.
Yeah, no, it was something ridiculous. I had to get like 380 million views in a month to get that 35,000.
I wonder if anybody claimed it.
I was talking to somebody, and I'm not going to say their name, but you would know it's somebody pretty relevant on YouTube and Instagram. They said the most they ever made was $3,000. And they were absolutely smashing it.
Yeah. Like,
was it Carrot Top?
No. Carrot Top. No. Somebody in the woodworking space. But the reason I bring it up, guess what's back, baby?
Really? The Reels bonus?
Not a Reels bonus. It's like what they're calling ads on Reels.
Oh.
So... you ready for this? Do you want to know how much money I've made off of this program so far?
$53.
Not trying to brag or anything. Hold on. wait for it. In
how many candy bars can you buy?
None.
None. Okay.
255,000 views. 57 cents.
Big money.
Oh, I thought you guys would appreciate that.
That's funny. I wonder if this might be a new feature, though. So the revenue might be delayed. Like, you know, on YouTube, if you have a video that's like absolutely killing it, it won't be reflected in your estimated earnings until like a few days later.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny.
That's annoying because
proof that they don't know what they're doing over there.
I don't even have that on my Instagram.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah, they never unlocked it in Canada, did they?
No, Canadians just consistently get screwed by Meta.
Well, see, because I had gotten to the point where I was just like, you know what? I'm done with Instagram. Like, they're not paying me, but I'm like, well,
yeah,
maybe that 57 cents.
57 cents, yeah.
That could really get me somewhere, but.
I think I crunched the math on the YouTube Shorts once, and you got about $100 for a million views, I think, in that kind of, maybe a little bit less. So you would have gotten approximately $25 on YouTube for those.
It's okay.
Views. Yeah. Look, I think I've heard you say this, like, express this before. Like, you were never going to get paid the same way YouTube pays for views for short form content. Like, the economics of it, just there's no way it could possibly work. Definitely you could be getting paid more than 50 cents, but I think, you know, realistically $100 for a million views might kind of be the upward limit of what's actually economically viable.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those incentives where you're like, well, now I kind of want to post on Instagram, but also it's a waste of time.
Let's check in with this after like a month and see if it's okay. If it's any different, just in case there's like the revenue needs to catch up or something like that.
I so don't have a lot of faith in it.
You've both gone unverified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, reluctantly.
Yeah.
Have you seen any, it's been a while, so have you seen anything from that, or is it just all the same?
It's all the same.
It's no different.
Yeah.
I just waste $15 a month.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, it's a business expense. I don't think I'm actually getting anything for it, but in the off chance that I have some BS happen, I allegedly have somebody to talk to, and it's like... Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fortunate enough that spending $16 a month is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
I know not everybody's in that position. And like, that's, you get what I'm trying to say. Like, as a business expense, that's kind of an irrelevant thing. Am I getting anything for it? No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I'd love to see the bottom line for Instagram. Does it move the needle on their end?
I don't know.
What? If there's
cash for nothing,
it's cash for nothing. But Instagram's also a big company that was already bringing in a decent amount of money. Is it just like a rounding error for them? Like, what are there, like a million verified people at most?
I don't know. I've got my buddies, like little sisters and stuff, who are in like middle school.
Yeah.
You know, high school, they're like, oh, I paid to get verified. I'm like,
oh, really?
You have 50 okay. followers. Right. Like,
yeah.
It's like a status thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've honestly considered deleting, like unverifying, but I was like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. It's mostly just apathy and laziness that keeps me verified on Instagram. Right.
That's what people sign up for subscriptions and then never cancel them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like signing up for the Green Series Podcast Patreon page at patreon.com/Green Series Podcast. Wouldn't suggest it, but it's there. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if anything comes out of that. But I don't think there will be.
Yeah.
I don't think there will be.
Dadu has a quick question in the live chat. He was wondering if Meta is blocking newspaper links. So this is like a big controversy in Canada. So if you go on Facebook or Meta, you cannot post news articles because the news companies were mad that Facebook was stealing their views. Because on Facebook, I think if you copy and paste a news article, it'll get like a little summary of the article and post it right on Facebook so that you don't actually have to go to the newspaper's website in order to read it. So the Canadian government and all their brilliance basically imposed a fee on Meta anytime they posted Canadian news articles. They had to like pay X amount of dollars, and Meta said, okay, fine, we're just not going to allow the posting of Canadian news articles on Meta, so we don't have to pay this fee.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. Which is entirely predictable. Like, anybody could have seen that coming. I'd do the same thing if I was in their shoes.
Right, just be like, well, all right, well, this we can easily circumvent this issue. No newspaper articles allowed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that brings up another question I wanted to ask you about. What happened to that one, like, bill thing about the content creators in Canada from, like, 6 months, 6, 12 months ago? What was it called?
Yeah. Yeah, so actually, I haven't kept up with it too much. It's Bill C something, two numbers after the C. I can't remember what it is. Mm-hmm. But they were actually talking about regulating Canadian podcasts soon, too.
Oh.
I was like, uh-oh. Maybe our podcast is considered Canadian. And then I was like, it only applies to podcasts that generate over more than $15 million in revenue or something like that. So it's like, okay.
We're screwed.
$15 million.
We're safe. Phew.
Dude, I can't even imagine having a podcast that brings in that much money.
That must only be like the top.
It's like three.
Know. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we just sat here once a week and just shooting the shit and we're like, how much you make? Ah, $15 million.
Yeah, every time Eric and I sit down in the chair, that's $500,000 each.
But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
To answer your question, though, I haven't really been keeping track of it. It passed and it was in some sort of limbo. You know how these things go with laws, you know, it has to go to the Senate and then they have to approve and then the Queen has to sign off on it or whatever the hell it is. So it was still kind of in limbo where it hadn't been enforced yet. That was my latest understanding of it. But honestly, I haven't been tracking it all that well.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to hear that you haven't been negatively affected by it yet.
Yes, so far, no negative impact.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, what have you been working on? Anything exciting you've been working on recently?
Yeah, so I talked about it a couple podcasts ago, but I got my DIY air quality meter here. Let me see if I can get the camera to focus. Yeah, so I 3D printed a little shell for it.
It kind of looks like a Game Boy.
It does. I wanted it to be like Game Boy inspired, so thank you for noticing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? Let's see. Can I plug it in and still have it be on camera?
Let's see.
Kind of here. I'll just take this. Yeah, there we go. So you get like a little reading. So you have the big circle there is particulate matter in the air. Then there's CO2. There's also VOCs and then ozone as well. It says literally when you first boot it up, it's like, give it a second. The sensors are heating up.
Okay.
So say your office is very clean.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually, it's made me feel better about being in my house. Cause I like took it around to all the rooms of the house and everything was well rated. I didn't have any bad readings.
That's good.
So now I have to use it and go do a bunch of thorough testing with a whole bunch of different tools and see how they and tools and products and see how they affect air quality. So is there anything that you would be curious to see me test in a video?
So I'm assuming you're going to do miter saw.
Mm-hmm.
Tables, like your basic mm-hmm. table saw stuff.
Yep. Yep.
It would be interesting if you set it like right next to your Festool dust extractor.
Yeah.
Put a big pile of dust, you know, 10, 15 feet away, sucked it up with mm-hmm. your extractor and see if right next to the Festool dust extractor, it picks up a bunch of junk around it.
I like that. Okay. Yeah.
Because you don't have any affiliation with them. So if you shit on them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Test the HEPA filtering on the
all right.
Festool. Yeah. I was thinking also test the 3D printer.
Yeah.
I want to test the CNC too, because CNCs are kind of interesting. They don't really make that much dust. It's mostly just chips. So I'd like to
see
how that.
There's still fine dust that comes off of a router.
Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, got to test a router too.
Multi-tool. Oscillating
multi-tool. Multi-tool, yeah. Yeah. I see. I don't want to get too bogged down because you could literally do every single tool, but then it becomes a boring video pretty quickly. And I also wanted to test things like, say you cut with the table saw, you kick a bunch of dust up in the air. How long until it's okay to take your mask off?
Oh.
Can you, you know, as soon as you turn the saw off, can you take off your mask? Probably not, right? But what about 10 minutes later, 30 minutes later?
Huh. What about just cleaning your shop? Like set it in the middle of your shop after a busy, you know, after a day of work, and then go through and clean and see how much gets kicked up.
Yeah, I suspect that will generate a ton of, especially sweeping with a broom. I also wanted to do welding, seeing how welding affects both gases in the air and particulate matter.
One thing that I would call out on a video like this is no matter what you do, you could have the most scientific backed thing in the world. People are going to get pissed off. So don't get bogged down in the details of like crazy, crazy testing parameters. Okay. Do the best you can and move on.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Almost leave your parameters as minimal as you can. If not, omit some things so that they have something to comment on.
Right.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Definitely.
Still make it a value, obviously. Like, Derek, I know you're not saying make it
unvaluable. Not complete troll fodder, but, you know, like...
Yeah.
You don't, like Eric's saying, don't worry about getting everything in there and then, you know, maybe give them a little something to pick on.
Like, well, you know, if to get a real test on your dust extractor, you should have put a brand new bag in there and a brand new filter and you should have swept it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
As it operates right now, this is the reading I get or whatever. Like,
and which is probably a more accurate measure or more real world measurement, right?
Yeah. A in use dust extractor.
Yeah. It doesn't mean much if it's pure for the first hour you use it. And then after that, it's just spewing out horrible dust that's going to kill you.
Do you have your main dust collector, like your big dust collector, table saw and stuff like that? Do you have the... like the drum filter thing where it's like the pleated one.
Yes.
I'd be interested if you put it right by there and then you have the little handle that it kind of like smacks the inside of it to get all the dust out of it.
Oh, mine doesn't have the handle to smack the inside.
Okay. How do you like clean the inside or whatever?
I just bang on it with my fist.
Okay. Well, I'd be curious if that banging on it with your fist, if it like kicks dust out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it does. I've noticed the walls in my shop are white and the dust extractor is mounted against the wall. And if I don't clean the wall behind the dust extractor, it just slowly accumulates a thin film of brown dust. So it's definitely not an airtight system.
Is it like a static charge, you think?
I think so.
Because I know in like the PVC pipe, because I run PVC, like one piece of PVC pipe. It gets statically clung to the
pipe itself.
To the pipe on the outside and on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really think of any other tools.
Okay. What about, I want to test a couple products. I'm going to test like a polyurethane finish, a hard wax finish, maybe a spray paint.
Yeah. What's, Suman just did a video on that, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he finish it? I was, I know he was working on it. I didn't know that he.
Yeah, I think I watched it the other day, or maybe it was tools. I don't remember which one it was, but he had done a video on finishes and like.
He did one quality, yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody else did one and referenced it.
I know. Well, I think John was working on one too, wasn't he?
I think he was doing a finish shootout video and reference Dumont's like VOC testing in it.
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
I can't keep up with everyone's videos.
I know you start making a couple friends and all of a sudden, if you want to keep up with everybody's videos, you just have to spend all day watching YouTube.
I mean, it's gotten to the point now where like, even on my subscription feed, I'm like, I'm getting blown up. I don't think I'm going to watch this one. I mean, I'm being honest. Like,
yeah, fair enough. I don't have. Yeah, there's time. Only so many hours in the day.
Right. And then if you constantly are like, I'm not going to watch this. Well, then you don't want to watch the video, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Like when I put out a 45-minute video, I know there's no way you guys are watching that shit.
I know. I actually still haven't watched your 45-minute one, but I
don't blame you.
I did watch your three or four most recent ones recently, though.
Oh, because they were short.
Yeah, they were shorter. I said
I had. No, go ahead.
No, go. I'm done.
No, I was gonna say that raises a question that I actually had earlier in the day to myself. Whenever you're editing your video at the very end, do you watch it all the way through, or do you just trust the edit and export it?
I mostly trust it. I don't want to see, or I watch it and I hit L twice on my computer, which basically plays it through really fast. If it's a 40-minute video, it can get through in like 8 minutes.
I spot check.
Yeah.
I spot check. I know which areas are potentially going to be problematic. Like if there's like a lot of graphics on the screen. Yeah. Sometimes if there's a lot of graphics on the screen, the render will get screwed up. So I'll watch those areas, and then I'll also skip around randomly in the video and just make sure, do little spot checks, make sure the audio stays synced up and everything's good on that front. But no, I generally will not watch the entire video through.
I also used to do, as soon as I put a video of mine out, I would like open up my TV or something and like watch the video on my TV. I was like, that view's gonna help. I don't want to watch my videos.
Yeah, but I always think this happens to me all the time. I'll put out a new video and then I'll go later in the day to watch YouTube, like watch somebody else's video, and my video will be the first one there, and I'm like, well, I can't not click it because that's gonna hurt to click through,
right? But one out of like hundreds of thousands of people that are getting shown this video, it's like it doesn't matter.
Do you think YouTube makes a relationship between your two accounts and
I wonder
that view? I'm sure. Ooh, I'm going to add that to my list. I have another call with my YouTube person. I'm going to add that. She'll probably give me some horseshit answer, though. Like, whatever.
I recently watched this video about exploiting bugs on YouTube. And it was this guy, and he was a pretty popular streamer. And he had like 15,000 people watching his YouTube stream. And then he just told everybody who's watching him to open up the stream again in a new tab on their computer. And all of a sudden, the number of people that were supposedly watching his video doubled, and he got twice the ad revenue for it.
Hey, we got six watching right now. Let's see if I open it up
multiple times. Yeah, everybody open up multiple tabs, and we'll see if we can get our numbers up. But we're seriously, not
monetized.
Like, yeah.
But we can see.
I think YouTube, in some weird areas, is a little bit less sophisticated than you might initially assume it is.
It's like local government.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I think you're probably right. Like, I mean, they know more than the Green Suitors podcast, available on Apple and Spotify, but that's not saying much. There are a bunch of morons over there.
I'm trying to pull up a bunch of tabs of my own just to see if it affects anything.
Is it working? We're still at six streamers, but you know, it is what it is. Huh. Well, we're at an hour. What do you say we meet the patrons over at the after show? I'm sure we've got tons of things to discuss.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a correction on this name that we butchered here.
Oh yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
ST Shy.
She.
I don't even know what name that is.
Was that our latest patron?
I don't know. See, I can never tell, because if you don't have a consistent name, I don't know. Is it Milling Chips? Christopher Johnson? I don't know.
I think you got Christopher Johnson. I think that one was okay. Unless there was a T in there that you missed.
Like a Johnston?
Yeah, Johnston.
Oh. Yeah, my boss's name, everybody always says it wrong, and he's just gotten to the point where he just doesn't correct people anymore.
Do you ever correct anybody when they mess up your name? I never do. Unless it's like...
How the hell are you going to... your last name?
No, but like any... You know, you go to Starbucks and write your name all wonky on the cup. I don't care.
What's the worst one you've had?
Or like,
if you have a relation with this person, then yes. But if it's somebody at Starbucks, oh, no, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it was like, say, like a hypothetical client that I knew I was going to interact with for like the next month or something, but then I never see them again after that. If they get my name wrong, I don't care. Whatever.
Just call me whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
At least they don't call you Mulva. It rhymes with a female body part. Mulva?
What's the worst you had it screwed up on you?
Oh, I don't even know. Just people getting it like completely wrong. Like, you know, people call you Jack or
Sap.
Just not even trying.
Yeah.
Just like not even in the right ballpark. Well, like similar sound, but just completely different name.
Miranda, every once in a while, will get Amanda.
Right. Yeah.
Which I'm like, I mean, I guess if it was like through a speaker, I could see how you could make that correlation, right?
Yeah. It's kind of got a similar flow.
That really pisses her off. So I call her Amanda all the time.
I mean, you guys must get each other's names occasionally. Eric, Derek.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
I think the worst one I ever had was my mom's boss called me Darren.
Right.
A couple weeks, she called me Darren, and my mom corrected her, and then she came back, and she was like, oh, this is Derek. I mean, Darren. I'm sorry. I screwed up his name in the beginning. I kept calling him Derek. It's actually Darren. And I'd be like, no, you got it backwards again.
Oh, that's too funny.
Oh, man.
Or what you could do is just not respond. They go, Darren. Darren.
Darren.
And just don't respond. And they're like, Darren, why aren't you responding? And you go, that's not my name.
Say my name. If you ever want to troll anybody, it's a very effective troll I found is to intentionally mess up somebody's name.
Oh, yeah.
Even after they correct you, continue to just call them by some inane name that's like kind of close to theirs, but not quite. It's very effective. Drives people nuts.
It's unlikely, but if we ever do a talk at Workbench Con, I'm going to constantly refer to you as different names. I'm going to be like, so Jeff, what do you think? What do you think, Thomas? I'm so confused. Zach Builds is a facade.
This is my partner, Canadian Tuxedo.
Also he is known by Scott Walsh, which is his other name. You can check out his YouTube channel. If we ever did a class at Workbench Con, we would have to slam the Green Series podcast the whole time. But just like real subtly, be like, here are things I wouldn't do. So
here are things I wouldn't do. And then you click the next slide on the PowerPoint presentation, and it's just a picture of the Green Suitors logo.
Right. Be like, this is an example of a horrible podcast logo. Here's why. That'd be good. Just remember, you can check out that podcast on all podcasting platforms like Apple and Spotify. But don't. You'll be disappointed. But what you won't be disappointed is going down at the bottom of your podcast app, click that little link button that unlocks the after show, because that's where we're going to go right now.
Yep. See everybody. That's right.